Today at Movie Wireless, we talk about Jupiter Ascending and The Boy Next Door. It's time for Movie Wallers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, as well.
Movie Wallers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, on streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. I do believe I tripped over my words there.
I think you did, and I was marvelling at how you always get it right, and we always get it wrong.
I rarely do a second take on that.
Yeah. The day we are able to do it, we'll start doing the introduction.
Yeah, all right.
It's like a tongue twister.
It is like a tongue twister, yes.
I can mouth it. When you're doing it, I can mouth it. I just can't do it on my own.
Yeah, I can mouth Eminem, but it doesn't mean I can do it. it's like singing in the car when you think you sound awesome and you don't. Or maybe you do.
I do.
I always sound awesome when I'm singing.
Oh, yeah. The most.
As you
awesome.
Guys know. No, I'm tone deaf.
You don't sing in the car?
No, I don't.
Really?
Not as a matter of, no.
Really?
I'll hum along.
I love singing in the car.
Every once in a while I will, but not
I belt
often.
It out and then I realize that people are watching.
Most people do.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, every now and then I'll totally like lose myself in a song and I'll be like, what happened to the last 5 miles?
Part of it is because I don't know any, I don't know entire songs by heart.
This weekend, I took a drive and I had Michael Jackson's Thriller on. Mm-hmm. And I know the words to that entire album, like back to back to back. And I had such a fun time karaoke in the car by myself. Luckily, Rashmi wasn't there. She would have been shut
up. I would have changed.
Changed the album already.
Yeah.
Anyhow, here we are. We've got two movies to record today. But before, I guess before we get into that, film festivals, a couple of them are coming up.
Yes.
And just, we always try and plug film festivals, but it's a couple, Sundance has happened, so.
Just happened,
but there are.
They just announced the winners, yeah.
South by Southwest is coming up in March, so this is plenty of notice if you're in the Austin area. We're not actually going to go to that one this year, but, you know, do think about that. Tribeca is also coming up.
April.
They're really good ones to put on your calendar now. If you happen to be in the New York area, do check that one out.
And our local one this weekend.
And there's a little one, yeah, the San Diego Jewish Film Festival.
Correct.
I'm amazed that San Diego even has a Jewish Film Festival.
Well, it actually starts tomorrow, February the 4th, and runs until, I think, Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah. And they have a... I was surprised. I thought they'd have like 15 movies, but they seem to have 50. There's a lot of films there. And a lot in like a short.
Is it a new film fest? I mean,
No,
it's been around for a while, but I think it's gaining momentum. Like all the film festivals in San Diego are only getting bigger, which only makes me happy.
Correct.
Happier.
I agree.
Rise, people of San Diego.
And those nearby.
Yes, and those nearby.
And it's of all ethnicities. Anyone can go to the Jewish Film Festival. It's films.
Really? No, it's good. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. It's films related.
With a Jewish, presumably with some type of Jewish theme.
Yeah.
Maybe a Jewish filmmaker, maybe a Jewish story or a theme or maybe an actor. Or they're, I think the criteria are quite loose as to what classifies as a Jewish film festival. But don't be, you know, if it doesn't sound like your thing, don't be put off. There's always great movies at film festivals.
Yeah. So. And ones that you may never see.
Yeah. I mean, last year, my favorite local film festival was the San Diego Latino Film Festival.
That's right.
And I'm not Latino.
And you actually...
look, Latino.
I was going to say you procured. You didn't procure. You, what's the word? Help me. Curated.
No, I didn't curate.
On behalf of the San Diego Film Festival?
Yeah.
San Diego Film Critics Society?
The San Diego Film Critics Society always likes to champion a movie at one of the local, big local film festivals. So, yeah, I was part of the committee of people who reviewed some of those movies ahead of the festival and then picked... the one or two that we really wanted to champion, and then we showed up for those, and we did an introduction before the movie and a Q&A afterwards, which is a lot of fun.
Very nice. Good work, Yasti.
Yay.
All right. Enough banter. Let's talk about one of our two movies this week. We have Jupiter Ascending and The Boy Next Door. Where would you like to go first?
I think Jupiter Ascending.
All right.
Okay.
Because that's the big one, right?
Yes.
Okay, so in Jupiter Ascending, a bright and colorful future is happening, and a young destitute caretaker, as this is how Mila Kunis is described, gets targeted by a ruthless son of a powerful family that live on a planet in need of a new heir. So she travels with a genetically engineered warrior to the planet in order to stop his tyrant reign. So this is directed by the Wachowskis. We haven't seen anything from them in quite a while.
Cloud Atlas, I think, was the last thing they directed.
Right, written and directed by Andy and Lana, and stars Channing Tatum, Mila Kunis, and the wonderful Eddie Redmayne in a interesting role, I think, from what I've seen from the trailer. So
yes.
Joe and I weren't lucky enough to see the screener.
I know, that was...
missed it.
Unfortunate timing, because I was looking forward to that. I ended up having to be in LA instead.
And I ended up just sitting in my pajamas on the sofa. It was one of those days.
Yes. What did we miss?
Yazdi, should we rush out and see this one?
So I should preface what I have to say by confessing that I'm a huge fan of the Wachowski brothers, or Wachowski siblings now. And I've loved every single movie of theirs. I even loved Speed Racer, and I'm one of five people who thinks that Cloud Atlas is a masterpiece. So, you know, I'm coming with that. So I had very high expectations for this movie. And here's what I wrote in my notes, that this movie is like stark raving mad, okay? It's just, it's crazy. I mean, this movie is insane, okay? It's...
That can be a good thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, in a good way or a bad
way? I'm not getting that vibe.
it's so bad. It's so bad that it makes other bad movies look good.
And
but you got to admire a movie which can be so bad that it can, you know, that it makes other bad movies look good. It's kind of their homage. I think they must have, they're two accomplished, you know, a pair of filmmakers to intentionally make what is like, seems like a B movie. But I think it's their homage to like Flash Gordon. And it's their homage to, you know...
It looks like Tron.
It's the kind of 70s...
It's more fantastical.
It's got that 70s vibe of, you know, the kind of thing you might have watched when you were high. Okay, and it's just, I cannot impress on you.
Because all three of us were totally able to get our hands on stuff that could make us high in the 70s, I don't think.
I'm just presuming. I was 2 years old in 1970.
Exactly, yeah.
But it just, I'm honestly at a loss for words. I can see how somebody, you have to see this movie, because every scene in the movie is up for a critical thrashing. Okay, every scene is up for vivisection. I mean, you can just giggle and laugh aloud at every scene of the movie, because it's so completely campy. It's so out there. It's so incoherent. It's so messed up.
But okay, is it bad because the story is bad and it hasn't got an arc?
Correct.
Or is it just,
yes.
Okay. or is it bad because it's badly acted?
Yes, that too.
Okay.
But, okay, so here's the thing. I think it's got... Okay, so these guys, okay, Lana and... what's her brother? The Wachowski are...
Andy.
Andy. Andy and Lana are incapable of making a movie that is not visually amazing. So
right.
The movie is just visually... Just it... Your mind just starts to like... explode after half an hour, because what's being tossed on the screen, what comes along, is so rapid and so quick, and the costumes are just to be seen to be believed. They're so bizarre, and there are creatures, and there are, you know,
so is it like Guardians of the Galaxy,
but not as coherent and not as well acted?
Is there anything to latch onto here, because this sounds like a complete mind...
It sounds like they were going for The Fifth Element. Have you guys watched The Fifth Element?
Yes, I don't know. That's one of your favorite movies.
I love The Fifth Element.
Yeah, because when you said crazy costumes, I thought of Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Yes, it's completely in that range. And, so the entire movie is a set of five action scenes, each of which involve Channing Tatum saving Mila Kunis from some horrible intergalactic war. Okay, that's the whole movie in a nutshell.
Wow.
Which should, if it gets you excited, then it should get you excited. And like I said, you know, you cannot fault the visuals, but you have to understand, this is a movie where very accomplished actors are coming and doing things which at every moment they must be thinking, oh my God, people are going to laugh me off the screen even as I'm doing it. Like Eddie Redmayne, I kid you not, is everything he says in the movie is like 6 decibels below Christian Bale in Batman. Okay, he whispers everything in the movie is like that. I mean, everybody kind of leans across in their chairs every time he says, and this has got to be structured. This has got to be intentional. It's beyond high camp. It's
I have to see it now.
Well, bizarre.
So is it number one? Is it based on anything? Do you know, or is it
no? Original, no, it's written and work? Directed.
I think they wrote it.
So number two, is it? Because I read it, this was screened at Sundance, and the
last year.
No, this year.
Okay.
And the piece that I read about it. And the screening at Sundance was that there were walkouts. Like, yeah. People were just, you know, like two-thirds of the way through the movie just said, I've had enough of it. I had enough of it. And the person who wrote the article suggested that, well, Sundance can be a little bit snooty. Sundance can be a little bit, you know, uppity. People who go there can, you know, not necessarily bond with a mainstream-type movie. But the main comment was that perhaps it was aimed at a slightly younger audience. This movie was aimed at the teenage boy as opposed to the kind of the Sundance crowd.
Okay, so Joe's leading up to, I think I'm going to like this.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm the Ender's Game fan from a couple of years ago. So
I've said this before, right? So there's some movies you watch on a Friday night when you're with your friends and you've had beers. And then when you're done watching that movie and it's like 11 o'clock, and you want to watch something even more crazy? I mean, I honestly think this movie is going to become like a cult movie, like Showgirls. You know, it's going to have a great run, like with midnight screenings. The other thing, okay, so the movie is incoherent. Okay, so there's only the bare hint of this plot, which involves, and I'm going to try and explain it for the benefit of our viewers, that there's this other faraway world. And the other faraway world uses humans as fodder. They want to use the human DNA to distill a youth potion so that everybody on that planet can live for a very long time.
Ah.
And every once in a while, just by chance, somebody on Earth comes up with the perfect genetic substance. And so that person's genetic substance is almost identical to that of, you know, somebody very big on that planet, the king of that planet. And it turns out that Mila Kunis has, you know, exactly the same genetic structure on Earth as the mother of the reigning three siblings on this planet. And so they want to come out and steal her and kill her so they could use her genetic code and recreate blah, blah, blah. And that's just the basic...
That's in the trailer. And the trailer was... oddly appealing to me. I mean, I
the aesthetic is strange to me.
It's, well, you know, but the idea of that plot concept, I think, is interesting.
And I think the other reason why the movie might seem a little bit patchy and a little bit haphazard, and you can tell this more in the action scenes than in any other scenes, is I suspect this was a 4-hour movie. Okay, done very elaborately. Because again, the visuals are just amazing. And what happened is the studio pressured them into saying, sorry, you're not going to make this movie a minute more than 2 hours. So that a lot of things seem rushed. It almost seems like somebody took a whole series based on a comic book, you know, series like and then condensed it into a 2 hours. So it kind of feels rushed. And therefore, a lot of people might find it incoherent. And then... if you're into this for some kind of big plot reveal, you won't find it. It's just one after another amazing set of action sequences. I don't know. I mean, I can see why somebody will give this a 2 out of 10, and I can see why somebody will give this a 10 out of 10. And I can at different times in my life give it either score. It's just loony. I mean, you have to watch it just for there it is.
I kind of want to see it anyway, despite what you're telling me. I mean, I think...
And I
might be more in tune with something like this, but as you know, but for me, I do need a simple narrative. I mean, that's something I've come to accept in a movie. I mean, I don't mind like when things go strange, but I have to have something that I can latch on to that makes me care about what comes next. So right. As long as it has that those elements
it does
to
have
it,
those elements.
I think
the thing that interests me is the aesthetic. Like I'm looking at the pictures of the posters, mm-hmm. and each of them have that really weird skin. But I guess that's all in line with a DNA story where they're all youthful, and so they're supposed to look very plastic and Botoxed. I guess is the look they're going for.
So that's
for.
The premise that. You know, Sir Eddie Redmayne is one of the three siblings on this planet.
Right.
And, you know, he and his other sibling at some point in the movie, you know, bathe in this genetic pool, which is made from, you know, 100 humans going to making one such vial. And then he comes out looking younger and fresher. And then Channing Tatum is some kind of a cross between a mutant human and a fox, and therefore he has pointed ears, and he has, and you know, they all have these amazing tattoos on their neck which look so realistic. I don't know how they did it. So and just the costumes, I mean, I mean some like Liberace couldn't have made this stuff up, you know. It's so out there. I mean, you just watch those costumes and it's Eddie Redmayne's costumes are like he's wearing capes and what looks like dresses, and you know, it's bizarre world. I say this in a nice way, I probably will go and see this movie again.
You should come and see it with us again.
All right.
Okay, score it. So between the 2 out of 10 and the 10 out of 10.
I'm at a loss as to what you're going to score this, because it sounds like the movie has some redeeming features. But
so we had I two people I know walked out of this movie like half an hour before it ended because wow. they just had enough of, you know, craziness.
I can't invest that much and then leave.
I think if you're a visual person and if you can set aside the fact that this movie has no desire to be coherent and is almost intentionally cheesy, just for the visuals alone, it's an easy 8 or 9 out of 10 for the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that considering how slapped together it seems, and maybe that's a function of how it had to be forced to be edited, I would recommend this movie very, very highly for people who want to watch just a crazy movie late in the night, one evening. And I would give it a 7 out of 10.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I would give it a 7 out of 10.
It's getting a lot of negative press.
Right. I mean,
not just from the Sundance thing, but now that the review embargoes have been lifted, people are punching it around quite a bit on Rotten Tomatoes.
And yeah. Honestly, like I said, pick any one scene in the movie, anyone, and you could just literally break it apart. I mean, you can just laugh your head out at serious things people are saying. Maybe it is intended to be a comedy and nobody knows about it.
I'm going to go see it. We've got to go see it
it's
now.
It's just insane. It's just insane. And you know, for me, better that's... And this is the same thing I said about Cloud Atlas, you know. Better somebody doing this gonzo, crazy, bizarro, incoherent stuff than, you know, routine, you know, boring stuff.
My only problem with this kind of crazy, bizarro stuff is that it's expensive. And I wonder... How many smaller productions got kicked out for something that's kind of so out there? But nonetheless, I mean, let's see. I'll make my own judgments once I see the movie.
I mean, Mila Kunis is, and I'm a fan of her, is just dreadfully miscast. I mean, she, and maybe it's the writing, but she is Jupiter off the Jupiter Ascending.
Right.
She has no character. I mean, you watch her for 2 hours and you don't have a sense of who she is, what she likes, what she doesn't like, what drives her, what kicks her. I mean, she's just...
That's a shame.
...the lead female character.
But you know what? I mean, to be honest, other than Black Swan, I mean, I haven't really seen her in anything recent that really wowed me about her. And I loved her in Black Swan, but I mean...
I liked her in most things, yeah.
I mean, Oz...
Yeah, she's done...
She was bad,
she's done some
she was
good
bad
work.
In Oz. She was bad in that one with Justin Timberlake or... Anyway.
Yeah. And when did her eyes become so big? She's like Emma Stone, Amanda Seyfried eyes. Her eyes are huge.
They're obviously enhanced for the movie.
They must have been enhanced or whatever. And then
obviously big eyes are back in.
Big eyes are in because her eyes are popping out of her skull. And then Channing Tatum. Can I just say this? I'm just going to come out and say this. It's the strangest thing to say, but I'm tired of poor Channing Tatum being exploited so much physically. Like, the poor guy, I mean, there's a whole...
As Magic Mike 2 is just about to make its run, yeah.
And then we'll talk about, even Foxcatcher, I just feel bad. Like, people like hire, you know, people hire Channing Tatum and say, off with your shirt. And for the next 15 minutes, through three action sequences, you are going to be without a shirt. It was, I felt bad for him. I'm like, please, somebody, throw him.
I'm sure he's been paid a lot of money.
I was going to say, he probably doesn't care so much when the paycheck arrives. But.
Yeah.
And I honestly, if I was an actor of any merit, I would jump at the opportunity to work with the Wachowskis.
I agree.
And I would totally take my shirt off for money, but no one would. no one's going to pay me much for that.
Anyway.
All right, moving on. Movie number two of the week is The Boy Next Door. So who's introing this?
That would be me.
Okay.
So The Boy Next Door is directed by Rob Korn, based on a story by Barbara Curry, and essentially tells the story of a high school teacher who happens to fall for a younger man who has recently moved in across the street from her. And unbeknownst to her, of course, he turns out to be a psychopath. I haven't seen this movie, but this sounds like the premise for a porn movie. Even the title sounds like a porn movie. I had no desire to see it. Please tell me I was wrong. But the movie stars Jennifer Lopez, Ryan Guzman as the two lead characters. And then Kristen Chenoweth is also in the cast.
I forgot that Yazdi didn't see this one. Okay, so Yazdi, you might want to see this one because no. It's the ultimate MILF movie. And unfortunately, as exciting as watching paint dry. It's entirely predictable in a boil your bunnies kind of way. But for some reason, I found it really fun to watch because it's so bad. Like you were saying, like yeah. Jupiter Ascending. It's so bad that it's actually fun to see how trashy it's going to be and continue being.
I think there is something to be said for good camp. Good campy movies.
Or movies that just know they're bad.
Right. Where people are deliberately, and we'll talk about it in a podcast we're going to record again, but where people are deliberately going for a very distinct B-movie sensibility.
Yeah, I mean...
But tell me.
Right off the bat, I mean, this movie is clearly a B-movie. It's like one of those made-for-TV movies, correct. But then it kind of goes into that kind of porn for women type vibe. You know, I think it's got that kind of... It's what I would imagine the 50 Shades of Grey movie themes start with. And then it, you know, kind of goes down this routine stalker, psychopath. But the whole thing is such a mess because they're not brave enough to do anything new. You know, J-Lo has a no nipple clause in her contract, which is like, it's so stupid. You have these scenes that I think are quite steamy, but the suspension of disbelief has gone away because she's... kind of semi-clothed throughout all of it.
That's not semi-clothed.
She was pretty clothed. Come on. I mean, this was like...
Is it like Austin Powers where things are just strategically placed so you don't see...
Yes.
Yes.
But a bit more dirty.
Oh.
But, yeah, the most annoying thing about this movie is it depends on characters behaving a certain way and then changing. And the shifts are so... unbelievable. I mean, you know, the whole stalker story is, you know, he's the boy next door and he's so lovely. And then, you know, things go dark. But,
No, I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, it gets basically from a regular scene to a scheme on a steamy scale from 0 to 80 in one scene. And then it goes from 0 to 60 on the crazy scale within the very next scene. I mean, it literally, it's schizophrenic.
I haven't seen it, but I think it's difficult to do an 80 on the steamy end of things. So if they can get to an 80 on the steamy end of things, then that
I mean, but it literally happens in one scene. Like Joe said, it's like, hello, boy next door. You're very nice and kind. Oh, let me take my clothes off for you. Oh, and by the way, it's raining outside.
Oh,
and by the way, I've probably drunk a bottle of wine.
Yeah, it was just incredibly badly written and incredibly oddly paced. And I think there was no build up to anything. Things just go batshit crazy. Like literally the movie pivots around like one scene and then what you thought you were watching, like, you know, almost like a Labor Day soft romantic turns into something nutso. And it's not good nutso. It's not like, you know, frightening.
Right.
Intense fatal attraction, you know, somebody dewiring, you know, somebody kind of falling apart. It's like, no, there's a psycho in town. and he's going to do all this crazy stuff. And so it just, it was really frustrating to watch something like that, because it was, it, and for me, it wasn't in the kind of it's so bad, it's good type thing. It was just
so bad,
clunky. It was laughably clunky and almost embarrassing to watch, because, you know, for J-Lo, this is a real, another huge misstep in her career. She's really goofed by being part of this thing. She's totally blown, I think, any opportunity to do any real serious work. And I'm not sure if that's what she's going for in her acting these days. But this really makes her look terrible. It doesn't give her any opportunity to do anything interesting with a character. And it's just a bad piece of work overall.
Sounded like a summary.
That would be our quickest review yet. But yeah, I mean, if you want me to score it, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10 for some mild entertainment value. But really, this is not a good movie. This is just a really, it's almost embarrassingly bad. I mean,
but I didn't mind watching it, which is interesting, yeah. Right? It's one of those where we go to some really bad movies and we see some really bad movies and it's a waste of time. This kind of knows it's a bad movie and it does it fairly efficiently. It's only an hour and a half
right. In
duration. But the main problem for me is it's just full of cheap tricks. It's highly predictable. J-Lo reaches an all low in this movie, I think. I agree with you, Joe. I think if it's the only way that she can act is by producing a movie, then kudos to her. But it's got to be a good movie. This is a bad movie. I mean, I wouldn't even be as kind as you, Joe. I kind of give it like 3 or 4 out of 10, probably 4 out of 10, but I enjoyed watching it.
The movie gets so many unintentional laughs. I mean,
yeah,
that's just one of those.
It's just a crazy situation. She's a really good looking teacher in a regular, and I don't mean this in any bad way, but she's a glamorous, model-esque looking teacher in a regular American town. Do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't fit.
It doesn't have any edge. I mean, I think
There could have been some edge, yeah. So
initially, it's almost like it could have been like a teacher-pupil thing where he's slightly underage and it becomes a very dangerous situation.
Yes.
They decided not to go there. And I don't know why, because
so he's a mature student who comes back to school.
A teacher who's sleeping with somebody who's not age inappropriate for her. I mean,
because they probably wanted to avoid any issues with getting into that, right?
But you're
because
right, that would have been a good movie.
Yeah.
That would have been a good movie.
That would have added a level of interest to the goings on, because suddenly things become a lot more dangerous for her as a character. But instead, you're just like, why doesn't she just tell him to get out of town? Look, I got drunk. We fooled around. You know, have a nice life. Instead, yeah. She's like, oh my God, if anyone finds out. And it doesn't work because there isn't that level of...
And then, you know what? The worst plot device ever. A kid with an EpiPen. I'm not going to say anything more.
Oh, that's disappointing.
It was very disappointing.
Yeah.
I actually think we talk very loftily about movies being, you know, amazing and, you know, telling about how we live today and reflecting on life and blah, blah, blah. But I personally think we need to appreciate movies which are kind of...
I'm waiting.
we need to as much appreciate the lowbrow as the highbrow. And I think there is so much good lowbrow stuff in cinema that we have to admire and appreciate it. And I'm not saying that this movie is good lowbrow, but there's so much good lowbrow out there, you know?
Right, not every movie has to be Selma or The Theory of Everything or Birdman, right? These are amazing movies.
Right.
But they need to be good and they need to be entertaining.
All I have to say is I'm the Nicolas Cage fan here, right?
Right.
There you go, right.
You know, so I can totally appreciate
we
that
like
point.
Lowbrow.
A movie doesn't have to be
correct.
Artistically excellent.
Correct.
But a movie has to have some elements of originality. I think if it's got something you haven't seen before, if you can see that the filmmakers are trying to do something new, here it's just almost like a paint by numbers from the late 80s.
Yeah.
And it's almost like somebody said, well, let's take the Fatal Attraction idea, turn it around, and then execute it badly. And it's really clumsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So ineptitude is is offensive. Lowbrow, yeah. We're all for it.
And it's plotty. It's very plotty. There's no story, right? I mean, you don't really get a sense of what the characters are really going through while they're going through the plot. And then there's a strange Kristen Chenoweth character, and then there's a strange, you know, plot device for why the guys turned up there. It's just not good.
That's a shame. Because Pauline Kael, who used to be one of the most influential movie critics for the New York Times in the 60s, very famously once said, and I've just looked up the quote, that movies are so rarely great art that if we cannot appreciate great trash, then we have no reason to go to the movies.
I agree with that. That's a lovely, really nice quote.
So, but yeah, clearly this is not great trash.
No, and it could have been.
I think Jupiter Ascending might be great trash.
Okay, there you go. Maybe we need like a trash movie that you have to go see every month.
Maybe we should put that
on our website.
Yeah, totally.
Right? A good trashy movie.
Good trashy movie of the week.
I love Wild Things. Like every time it's on television, I have to watch it. And I say that with a lot of pride. I like The Tree of Life and I like Wild Things, which is about, you know, what's her name? Denise Richards.
Yeah.
Getting into a pool with... with
Scream Woman. Neve Campbell. I like The Island.
Oh, The Island is great.
I mean, The Island is a great movie.
Bedazzled.
I love Bedazzled. I love Bedazzled.
George of the Jungle. I love George of the Jungle.
That's what I'm saying. We like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But not this one.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not one I'd watch again.
What's your score, Ashley?
Oh, I said like, I would say 4 out of 10.
Okay.
And that's being generous.
Yeah, my 5 was extremely generous, but only because it didn't put me to sleep.
Yeah.
All right. Let us know what you all think of these movies. Mail at moviewallers.com, twitter.com/moviewallers, and facebook.com/moviewallers as well. Until our next episode, it's too many movies, too little time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.